Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we thank Him and we bear witness that there is no deity except Him and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His messenger. May Allah peace and prayers be shed upon Him, His companions, His household and those who follow Him until the day of judgment. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Hakim, the most wise. His wisdom is sometimes is so obvious for us to figure out. Sometimes it takes people who have knowledge and wisdom to look around and examine and to think until they are able to find out about the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And people who lack, who can't understand the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sometimes they accuse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They accuse Him of not either not doing a good job in making this decision, or astaghfirullah al-azim, not treating them well, or why is he doing this halal, why is he doing this haram, what is going to, well, it doesn't make sense that this is haram and this is halal, and all of these things, statements that have been made about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, questioning His wisdom. Indeed, wondering about the wisdom of Allah is something that Allah wants us to do. He wants us to wonder about His wisdom and think about His wisdom. And think about His creation as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to do that. But He doesn't want us to accuse Him. We wonder. If we can figure it out, alhamdulillah. If we can't, then we say, hikmatak ya Rabb. We wonder about your wisdom, ya Allah. Give us the ability to find out. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows even the angels to wonder about His wisdom. In Surah Al-Baqarah, when He informed the angels that He's creating a human and placing this human within that gap of space and time, which is called this dunya, the life of this dunya. This gap where Allah allows His creation to have a free will, to do whatever they want to do, to have the freedom to say whatever they want to say and to go wherever they want to go. Within this gap, He said, I'm going to create a human and place him within this gap. Then they wondered and they said, well, this is very dangerous. It is very, very dangerous to put a human under the influence of the shaitan within this gap that he's going to, you know, cause a lot of blood shedding and cause a lot of corruption inside this gap. This gap is limited in time and space. The space probably is this first heaven or this earth and the heavenly earth where Allah allows His disobedience to take place and allows His creation to do whatever they want. And then the gap is also limited in time. It starts from the creation of this universe to the end of the universe, which is the Day of Judgment. This gap in time and space, when Allah told them, إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةٌ, Surah Al-Baqarah, I am creating a representation on earth. So they immediately questioned the wisdom. قَالُوا أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاءَ وَنَحْنُ نُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكَ وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ. They wondered in a very polite way. They wondered, the angels wondered about, Ya Allah, would you place on this earth, why are you putting on this earth, a creation, a new creation that is going to spread corruption and shed blood. And we are your creation as well. If it is, you're creating a creation because you are the creator and your nature being the creator is a useful nature, and you're creating because you're the creator and your creator is, and because you are the creator is your nature and your nature is a useful nature, okay, you have created other creation. And those other creation are doing a good job. نُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكَ وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ, which is, we are glorifying you, knowing you, and praising you the way Subhanaka, you know, the way we should, the way you wanted us, the way you wanted us to do. So he did not explain the wisdom of them at that at this time, but he say, Inni a'lamu ma la ta'lamun. I know what you don't know. And usually this means wait, and you will see the wisdom later. Okay, you wouldn't be able to understand the wisdom now. You would see it later.
How would the angels know that, you know, human will spread bloodshed and corruption? How would they know?
MashaAllah, this is a very good question. How would the angels know that humans are, how can they protect that? Allah has created before humans the jinn. The jinn kind. They were created way before Adam. And shaitan is among them. And by the way, shaitan is from the jinn. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Kahf, وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ كَانَ مِنَ الْجِنِّ فَفَسَقَ عَنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّهِ. That we have told the angels, bow down to Adam. All of them bow down. But Iblis, he was from the jinn. So he refused to bow down. So that's the evidence from the Quran that Iblis is from the jinn. So Allah has created the jinn before. And he placed them within this gap of time and space, this universe, to do whatever they want. And the result was that they have killed each other. They have gotten so wicked and corrupted that it became like a jungle law. The strong jinn will eat, not physically, but whatever form of existence they have. Obviously, they have other than the physical form of existence. Allah knows better. The weak jinn will eat, the strong jinn will eat the weak jinn. And they have gone to a level of corruption that all the righteous jinn, all the Muslim jinn, all the good jinn disappeared. And they all became wicked. And this is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent an army from the angels to surround them and to arrest them, chase them into areas, into the oceans, into the areas that are not, they don't have people living or animals living. And then they surrounded them and prevented them from going anywhere. This is like a prison area for them. They call it Aali al-Bihar. And Allah knows better that these are the vacant areas of the oceans. And then they arrested the chief, the big guy, which is Iblis, or Lucifer, if they call him in Christianity. They arrested him and they took him to heaven. Because Iblis was so clever and so smart that if you leave him in this prison, he's probably going to figure out a way, just like escaping from Alcatraz. You know the movie when they put that prisoner in Alcatraz, and he was so clever that he was able to get out of Alcatraz. And so probably Allah knows better that they took Iblis up so that they prevent him from escaping and causing problems down. And then the story that we talked about before, that then Iblis started competing with them into the worship and the dedication and the submission to Allah. And of course, we know what else do you expect if somebody's living among angels. But he was recognized to be the most honorable creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because although he has temptations, he had evil temptations and he had evil motives, and submission to Allah for him is challenging, unlike the angels where submission to Allah is so natural, like breathing, the way we breathe, so natural and easy. To them, submission to Allah is easy and natural. Mm-hmm. So their submission to Allah is not a surprise, does not wow anybody, is not impressive, because they don't have any temptation, they don't have any challenges when they do that. So it becomes natural submission because of their nature. Unlike the Iblis had to struggle with his temptations and motives of evil to submit to Allah. So when they noticed that he is competing with them in the worship of Allah, he's worshipping Allah like an angel, that was like something big. When they noticed that, they called him, gave him the title of the best creation. And he managed to deceive them. He managed to deceive them. The guy that they took from Alcatraz with them, he managed to even do deception in heavens and deceive the angels and earn himself a false title that he's the most honorable creation of Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala And you can also see the wisdom of Allah and what He did, which is related to the same subject. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not get the angels and told them, this is not the best guy that you guys think he's the best guy. No, he's not. He's the worst guy. No, Allah's wisdom is way beyond that. Allah designed for him a test to show the truth about him. Just like a teacher to show the truth about the students who say, we've done the homework, we know the material, he designs a test for them. So the truth about them becomes obvious to everybody. So Allah designed the test for Iblis to expose him so that everybody will see that he's not the best guy, he's the worst guy. If Allah would get the angels and tell them, he's the worst guy, not the best guy, he deceived you guys, maybe angels will not be able to clearly see the wisdom and will again question the wisdom of Allah. You are saying he's the worst guy, Ya Allah, we wonder. You know best, but we wonder. He's submissive to you like an angel. Why is he the worst guy? We will convince ourselves, because we know you and we glorify you. We will try to convince ourselves. Actually, we are convincing ourselves. Actually, we'll be working continuously to convince ourselves until we're fully convinced. But we're unable to see the wisdom. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, okay. He designed for him that test, and he showed them that he rejected the obeying the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because he did not want Adam to be better than him, to be more honorable than him. Because the more honorable bows down to the less honorable bows down to the more honorable. So when he was asked to bow down, he immediately rejected. And that was, then at that point, all the angels understood why he is the worst creation. Right from that scene, from that, you know, because they saw how he's trying to claim to himself a status that is not for him, and he's worshipping Allah because he wants the title, because he wants the recognition, because he wants the status, not because he is out of love and submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The bottom line that, and also you can see also the wisdom of Allah when he created Adam and he left him in the open space. He did not breathe into him from his spirit right away. He fashioned him from clay and then he left him out there in the open space like this. A piece of clay. He left him so that the shaitan will have some time to cook in a slow fire. He left him so the shaitan is wondering. And he's asking the angels, do you know why this guy is created? What's the story behind him? Do you know, is he going to be my boss or am I going to be his boss? Is he going to be better than me or I'm going to be better than him? Is he going to take my position, my status, my title, the best creation, the honorable creation, or I am going to keep that status? And then he kept him wandering and cooking in a slow fire. So that's why he left Adam for a long time like this. And the shaitan used to go around Adam and check his body and go from his mouth and go out from the bottom. And then he will go to the angels and say, sure, I am going to be in charge of this guy because I'm stronger than this guy. Because I've examined his body and he's hollow from inside. You know, which tells you that the shaitans and the jinn are solid. Solid. They don't have vacant space inside them. So, and he kept doing that and wondering and cooking in a slow fire. Until he reached to a level where Allah is ready to put him through the test. And expose the truth about him in front of all the creation. That he is not the best guy. He is the worst guy. He's not the best creation. He's the worst creation. And not the most honorable creation. So that's the wisdom. Angels have seen that. So logical conclusion that the angels have arrived to. If the jinn, when they were put within that gap, which is allowing some freedom within this gap, not full freedom, allow them some freedom, they have produced so much corruption and shed so much blood. So why would the human be any different? What is the difference? The difference is the form of body. They were created from fire, the waves of fire, and we are created from mud, clay. So only this form, this is not enough to make us any different. So they say, well, the similarities between the two creations is so much that we expect the same creation to do the same thing. So why? I mean, why doing it again? And then Allah said, wait, as the time progresses, as you see, you will see the wisdom from that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creation, this universe is this book. And you can think, if I may use this simplified example, as Allah, when He wrote the book of the universe, when Allah created the pen to write down the words of Allah, which is this universe, or if I may use this simplified example of painting, just like painting the universe and bringing this whole universe to existence, Allah left gaps for others to fill. Allah left, if I may say, blanks for others to fill. And He, one of those blanks, for example, is the blank that is the role of every one of us. We are given a role, which is within our life, to fill this blank and to play a role that fills the blank that Allah left intentionally for us to fill. And at the end of the evaluation will be, how well did you fill the blank? How much matching between the filling of the blanks that you have produced and what Allah wanted? Did you fill the blank in a way that Allah wants the blank to be filled, or opposite to what Allah wants it to be filled? And based on this match, how close is this match, is the quality of that person. So this gap was left intentionally for us to fill. And this gap varies. The importance of this gap varies. And the prophets that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Prophet Muhammad, his gap was that Allah has left him Sharia laws to legislate on his own. So he was legislating Sharia laws that are do's and don'ts, that are halal and haram, that are not mentioned in the Quran, such as wearing gold, wearing silk, the mut'a marriage, which is the marriage with an agreed upon expiration dates for one night or for one month or for whatever. All these things are made haram by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is a gap for the Prophet to fill. To show the quality, the wisdom, one of the wisdoms is to show the quality, how is the Prophet is filling these gaps and how much match between his will and the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, Allah left him gaps to fill, blanks to fill, such as the issue of how to deal with the prisoners of war after the Battle of Badr. Allah did not tell the Prophet what to do. And the Prophet's opinion and Abu Bakr's opinion was to spare them and to let them go with an exchange of either monetary compensation, or they teach the Sahaba children how to read and write, or any of those. And Abu Umar's opinion was to kill all of them, because they would come back and fight us if we let them go. And they indeed, when they let them go, they came back in the Battle of Uhud and they fought again. They did not appreciate it, and they came back and they fought it again. And then he said also, if they would have captured us, they would have done the same thing. So based on these two facts, he filled up this blank by saying, kill them. What happened is actually not what Umar wants, what the Prophet ﷺ and Abu Bakr wanted, which is to spare them and let them go in exchange of some kind of a benefit that comes to the Muslims. Allah came, Quran came, to endorse the opinion of Umar. And Allah expressed that He doesn't like what the Prophet and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr did. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, مَا كَانَ لِنَبِيٍّ أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُ أَسْرَى حَتَّى يُثْخِنَ فِي الْأَرْضِ تُرِيدِينَ عَرَضَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَاللَّهُ يُرِيدُ الْآخِرَةِ. That it shouldn't be the correct response to this situation when you have prisoners of war is to kill them. You are exchanging them for benefits, for worldly benefits. And Allah doesn't want the worldly benefits. He wants the hereafter. Dhul Qarnayn also, you see how Allah spoke in the Quran about the way He filled the gap and the way He wanted the gap to be filled. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Kahf was comparing His will to the will of Dhul Qarnayn by saying, أَمَّا مَنْ ظَلَمَ, on the tongue of Dhul Qarnayn, that Dhul Qarnayn was saying, أَمَّا مَنْ ظَلَمَ فَسَوْفَ نُعَذِّبُهُ ثُمَّ يُرَدُّ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِ فَيُعَذِّبُ عَذَابًا نُكْرًا. So the match here is that whomsoever commits injustice, look what we're going to do to him. We are going to torture him in this life and punish him in this life, and then he will go back to his Lord to give him a more severe and more painful punishment. So, punishment. Punishment to my magnitude, to my ability in this life, and then up in heaven punishment to the abilities and to the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. See the match between him, his will, and the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And finally, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke about Zabur, he said that the Zabur was kind of poetry. And he spoke about, he mentioned part of his Zabur. He said that part of the text that came in his Zabur, that أيها الملك إني لم أخلقك لكي تجمع الدنيا بعضها فوق بعض ولكن خلقتك لتدفع عني دعوة المظلوم. That also explains the same thing about the gaps that Allah is saying to the king. I did not create you to make yourself gods on people. To make yourself on the top of the people and collect the pleasures of this life and the powers of this life and pile them and claim them to yourself. I've created you to fill in this gap and take justice from the aggressor, okay, and protect the weak from the injustice of the aggressor. And instead of the weak person raising his hand or her hand to Allah, making dua, I want you to take care of that person on my behalf. I want you to represent my justice on earth. That's what I created you for, is to fill this gap that way. Okay? Now, you can see, and أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم. إن شاء الله, we'll continue later. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Most of them.